Let's turn a few pages over to number 8. Number 8, A Glorious Church. Hospital, that's for sure. Been in there for 15 days, I think it was, and sure was an ordeal to get through all the decisions that had to be made, and it just seemed like every day there was another incident, another decision that came down, and you had to decide which way to go, and it just got so confusing and difficult to figure out what to do. You ever play that game on the computer where the pieces come down? You have to turn them to get them into the right spot. I think they call it Tetris, something like that. It just seemed like every day there was another piece coming down, and you had to put in its right place. And but after, you know, talking to the Lord and you guys all praying and everything, it always seemed that it fit just the right way. Because if it had gone a different way and there was a big decision being made about an operation that would have gone like from here all the way down, you know, I'd still be in the hospital even now. I didn't want to do that. And at 4 in the morning, they were asking me to sign a consent to do this operation. At 4 o'clock in the morning. And I said, no. The doctor talked about a test he's going to do to see if it's open or not. I want to go through that first. It's a good thing I did. That morning, I went down there, and they had to put this thing through my nose. That's why I look all mess here, my nose and everything. But they put that thing there and put it down in there, and the girl was just saying great things about, it's flowing through. I don't see what the problem is here. You don't have a blockage going on. And I'm going, amen. Oh, boy. Can't wait till the doctor hears this. And so, finally, the decision was made not to do that operation. And, boy, that would have gone in a totally different direction completely. Then they reset this operation. It appears that the operation was a success. I don't have the pain from there, but I am limping around because I don't really know why I'm limping around, but there's a sore right here in my knee. They really can't see any problem with it, but it just may be all the stuff going on. The one doctor said, look, you've had a lot of things going on, and it just could be it's going to take a little while to be able to use that leg in a good way. So I'll probably have to see some physical therapy and things like that, use a cane or whatever. But every day I'm able to walk a little bit further with it. I couldn't even walk from here to that door without being in excruciating pain, let's say 5 or 6 days ago. Now I'm walking around, getting around. So I think we'll be all right. So I really want to thank you all for all the prayers and the cards and everything. Those things are really very interesting how it picks you up and just encourages you. And I hope that through it all, it's even drawing yourselves closer to the Lord as you've been praying for your pastor, that God would just help him get through this, that it draws you closer to the Lord. And I think that would be a good result from it for sure. All right. Well, there's not really a whole lot going on right now. Just come to church. Let's serve the Lord, be a witness for him. And we got Brother Matt here all day. He's already on a good subject, the Holy Spirit of God, folks. We need to hear more about that, so I'm looking forward to hearing more on that. But I want to say also how grateful I am for my family. My sisters came in, helped out, and my brother is sitting here today. I haven't had an opportunity to be with him like this for a long, long time. And I think you can probably tell he's my brother, just by the way he looks and I look. Come from the same stock, I guess you could say. So he and I are going to sing for you this morning. So Sam, if you, we'll use this microphone here to pick us up on this. Number 155 in your hymn book. You know, when we get to the chorus, if you want to like sing along with us, that'd be fine. But my brother and I always would sing. I remember in the car, we'd be singing together, my two sisters and my brother. And that's just the way our family always was, singing and happy in the Lord. Well, I'm going to turn this microphone off here. At Calvary, this is where it started, right here. my brother Pierre from Arizona, and he painted the whole house. You should see this. Well, you're all going to see it one of these days. You're going to get over there and take a look at it. What a great job he did. And it's just so wonderful. We spent the first night in our new house last night, and it was quiet as can be. The street we live on in Fullerton, there are motorcycles and trucks and things like that all night long. There wasn't a sound. I woke up almost every hour in the hour. And I'm like, well, man, this is different. So we're enjoying it. So keep praying for us. We got lots to do. If any of you can help us, we still have some things to move and get rid of and things like that throughout the week. You know, if you have ability to do that, just let us know. But God has been good to us, better than we deserve. And he's been good to all of us. All of us. And so, brother, you preach to us. Give us a good day here. All right. Ralph, let's continue singing. All right.
For our last song, this seems to happen quite a bit around here. We don't usually say too much about it. But Brother Renzi referred to the song we're going to sing now. Back in Sunday school, number 93, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship.
Danger in that bright land.
was before me, where God's redeemed their bodies sleep. I'm going home to see my Father. He said, chilly Jordan, I'm going over to my home. I want to shout salvation story in concert with that blood washed band. I'm going there to meet my Savior, to sing his praise to go. I'm just a going over Jordan. I'm just a going home.
It's a comfort that song was being sung. I sat there myself just thinking, I know that when I leave this earth, and God only, we don't know when we're leaving individually. We don't know when we're leaving together neither. Amen. The Lord could come back at any time. But it's a comfort to know where we're going. Amen. To know that we're going to be with the Lord when we leave this earth. Amen. And that was a comfort to my heart. But as the song was being sung, knowing what I'm going to speak about now, it's also a challenge. You know, it's one thing for us to know where we're going and have that blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. But to think of how many people could know what we know, but don't. That's the challenge. I'll tell you one of the texts that came to my mind. I think it was 2 Kings. I'm not sure exactly. I'm not preparing to preach on this, but the four leprous men that were of the Syrians, I believe it was, they were kicked out of the city. They were going to die. They knew they were going to die. They said, let's give ourselves over to the enemies that were encamped around the city. And they went to give themselves over to these enemies, and they found out the enemies were all gone. God had made these enemies think that there was an army coming, and they just up and left. And these four leprous men, they got to the camp. They said, we're going to die one way or the other. They got kicked out of the city. They won't let us in there. We're going to die here. Let's give ourselves up. Maybe the enemies will keep us alive. And when they got there, the enemies were gone. And they found all kinds of food and all kinds of treasures. And man, they were just reveling in it. They were excited. They were eating to their full. And then all of a sudden, they said to themselves, we do not well. In other words, we came into a fortune. There's a famine of bread in our land, and we found the bread. We do not well if we hold our peace. And these four leprous men, they went back to the city that had kicked them out and said, "We found bread." And you know what happened. Obviously, they saved the city. I remember reading and studying that text one time and somebody saying the four leprous men, perhaps picture the four gospel writers. Every gospel, very unique, every gospel speaks about the Lord Jesus multiplying that bread and meeting the needs and feeding the multitudes with that bread. Leprosy is a picture of sin. We all got it. We're all going. But to find the bread of life, to find Jesus, to find fulfillment and satisfaction. And we sang earlier in Sunday school, "He's all I need." I'm studying personally right now the book of Colossians. And the Gnostics were telling the believers that you don't have it all. You don't have it all. You need more than. And then Paul wrote, "No, you're full with Jesus. You're complete in him. You need nothing more, nothing less. We need Jesus alone." And to think you and I that are saved, we found the bread. We found the bread of heaven, the bread of life, the one that came down. And we do not well if we keep it to ourselves. My heart's convicted personally that I might take the bread of life as God leads and share it. Amen. And with that in mind, let's pick up where we left off this morning. Would you turn to John chapter number 16, please? In fact, it's quite amazing how that song and what was going on in my heart and what now we're picking up on. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We started in Sunday school this morning and we talked about the Holy Spirit. I mentioned in the beginning that there's not enough preaching on the Holy Spirit, and I'm not doing it justice in reference to exhausting everything about the Holy Spirit. But we're just touching on some things. You know what I hope? We touch on enough to spur us to want more. Amen. By the way, that's the way it should be. You go to church, preacher gets into something, and you get a little taste of it, and you say, "You know what? I want more." Amen. And you go home and get into your Bible and study it yourself. Amen. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about the Holy Spirit being the creator of the world. Amen. We know that God, the triune God, created everything. Amen. And we don't believe in evolution. Amen. That certainly is not the truth. Amen. We believe in a God of creation, a God of order and organization. Amen. And what a wonderful thing. We talk not only about the Holy Spirit being the creator of the world, but we talked about the Holy Spirit being the contender of the flesh. And we focused on that, how the Holy Spirit in this world, through the church and through the Christians, is holding back much that could be going on. But one day when the church is taken out, and by the way, the church is going to be taken out. Very quick, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, amen. And the Spirit of God in that unique ministry will be gone. The Holy Spirit won't be gone, that's for sure. But that unique ministry of the church and the believer here will be gone. He's going to leave just like he came in, quick, amen. And we talked about the Holy Spirit and his work, not only in the world, working against evil and wrong, but even in our own hearts and in our own lives. And we thank God for that. Amen. And we also talked about this. We closed in Sunday school talking about the Holy Spirit is the composer of the Bible. He's the one that gave us the book. Amen. And we thank God for it. Now, number four, I want to speak about this morning. And again, this goes along with everything. My heart is happy and glad that I'm saved. And I know I'm going to be with the Lord when I do leave this earth. But I'm challenged about those that are not saved. And may God help us. Amen. Number four, would you jot this down? If you take notes, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit being the convictor of the sinner. The convictor of the sinner. If you're saved, you're saved because the Spirit of God worked on your heart to be saved. You can't get saved apart the Spirit of God working on your heart, amen, knocking, if you will, on your door, amen. In fact, I know some people like to take Revelation 3:20, where Jesus is knocking at the door, and like to use that in an illustrative way, and that's fine. But the context is, he's not knocking on the heart of a sinner. He's knocking on the heart of or the door of a church, amen. Churches kick Jesus out, by the way. There's a lot of churches you can go to today. He ain't there, amen. Matter of fact, some of the biggest churches, he's not allowed in. Amen. And yet some of the smallest churches, he's the most welcome person there. Amen. In fact, size don't matter. What matters is whether the Lord's in the gathering or not. Amen. And the fact of the matter is, in reality, the Spirit of the God is the one that's working on the heart of unsaved people. He's the one that's working on their hearts. He uses his word. It's the sword of the Spirit. Amen. He uses the word of God in the heart and on the hearts of unsaved people to bring them to salvation. Born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. Amen. Look at John chapter number 16, if you would. By the way, this is a singing church, and I like that. Amen. John chapter number 16. Let's begin in verse number 7. And I just want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit in the Bible is the convictor of the sinner. John 16, verse number 7. Nevertheless, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, which means it's good for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, and that's the name of the Holy Spirit, name for the Holy Spirit right there. The Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, verse number 8, Jesus begins to tell us when the Spirit of God comes, here's the ministry of the Spirit of God to the sinner. This is the ministry of the Spirit of God to the sinner. Verse number 8. When he has come, he will reprove the world, which is to convict, if you will, the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Verse number 9. Of sin because they believe not on me. By the way, the greatest sin of the sinner is unbelief. That's the sin that will keep people out of heaven. Amen. Unbelief. And the Spirit of God, he wants to work on the heart of unsaved people to convince them, to reprove them, to convict them of sin. Verse number 9, because they believe not on me, of righteousness. By the way, we're not righteous. There's none righteous in and of ourselves. No, not one. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God wants us to help us to see ourselves. By the way, he uses the law of God, uses the word of God as a mirror, as a schoolmaster to point out we all fall short of the glory of God. Amen. And we cannot save ourselves, but the same Spirit that uses the Word of God to convict us of our need for a Savior points to Jesus Christ as the answer for our salvation. Amen. Verse number 10, he goes on, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The Holy Spirit of God wants to move on the hearts of unsaved people to bring them to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to his saving grace. Amen. But I do want to say this. I want you to turn. We're right in the neighborhood, which is always good, right? Look at John 15 for a moment. I want you to see something in verse 26 and 27. We know, according to what we just read, the Spirit of God, by the way, his ministry toward the world is conviction. He wants to convict the world, convince the world, reprove the world, but he wants to minister through us. Amen? You and I that are saved, we have the Holy Spirit. And he wants to use you and I and our words to testify of Jesus Christ. He wants to work through us to point them to him. Would you note this if you would? John 15, look at verse 26 and 27. But when the Comforter, again, Jesus speaking about the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. And by the way, it's the Spirit of God who wants to speak the truth of God through us to them. Amen. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth forth from the Father. Get what it says. He shall testify of what? Me. See, what Jesus said is the Spirit of God wants to testify of me. I have a problem with churches and with people who magnify and praise and lift up the Holy Spirit as their emphasis. The Bible does not say that the Spirit of God is to be lifted up and magnified and so on. He testifies of Jesus. Amen? You got a lot of Pentecostal churches that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, and very little of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not into magnifying himself. We understand we have to learn about the Holy Spirit, and we have to teach about the Holy Spirit and preach about the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit of God wants to testify and magnify and lift up Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Amen. And the Spirit of God wants to use you and I that are saved to lift up Jesus. Amen. As Jesus said to, I believe it was Nicodemus in John chapter number 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever looketh and believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Every human being is snake bitten. Every human being is going to die. And the only answer is Jesus Christ, him crucified on that cross. Amen. You remember that brazen serpent, that brass, that judged serpent on the cross. Amen. By the way, it's our symbol of healing, is it not? It's on the ambulances and hospitals. Amen. For the most part. And that's what the Spirit of God wants to do. In fact, it's quite amazing if you think about it. In the context, well, I don't want to get into that right now, but look at verse number 27. Now, I want you to get, by the way, verse number 26 of John 15. The Spirit of God, the Comforter, he's going to testify of me. He's going to proclaim me, magnify me. Now, look at verse number 27. Watch what it says. Watch what it begins with. And you what? Also. Watch this now. And you also shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. I know he's speaking directly to his apostles, but the fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit wants to testify of me, and you also. You need to witness. You need to testify of me. Amen? Oh, how many people, I heard a preacher say one time, how many people would get saved if they only knew how? Amen? I want you to listen to this verse, if you would. Acts 5:32. Just listen to it. Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost. The apostles were preaching the truth of the resurrected Christ. And they said, we're witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost. Amen. I say it to you this way. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, Paul said this. For we are laborers together with God. Amen. You remember, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20. We then are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Amen. And chapter 6, verse 1 talks about the fact again that we are laboring and co-laborers with God. The Spirit of God wants to fill us. And the Spirit of God wants to use us to lift up Christ, to proclaim the gospel to lost sinners. Amen. And this is the ministry that he has toward them. There are times when he'll move our hearts towards somebody. And he'll lead us toward. We have no idea, brother. You know, when you share the God, by the way, pray. Somebody prayed, I think it was our brother prayed about God, you know, helping us to witness and leading us. You know, he's got divine appointments. I can't help but think about, Philip the Evangelist. I mean, he's preaching in Acts chapter number 8. How many recall Philip the Evangelist? Preaching in Acts chapter number 8. A revival breaks out. Samaria. I mean, people are getting saved. Demons are getting cast. And a great rejoicing is going on. And a wonderful revival is going on. And you know what God told this evangelist at this great revival? He said, go down to Gaza. We should go down where? Go down to the desert. Let me tell you, sometimes God does things that we don't try to put it together. Do not try to put it together. Why in the world would somebody leave a great revival to go down to, they have no idea what? It's empty. It's desert. But the Lord told him what to do. He went down to the desert. And when he got there, by the way, the Lord doesn't tell you everything out front. I wish he would. I wish that you're going here, you're going here, you're going here, you're going here. Sometimes you just simply obey the first step and you get there. When you get there, by the way, you know what happened? There was an entourage coming from Jerusalem with an Ethiopian eunuch who was a great man, a mighty man, a wealthy man, a powerful man. He was just coming back from a religious meeting at Jerusalem, but he was empty. He was searching the scriptures because his religion wasn't doing it. And he was reading Isaiah 53. By the way, only the Spirit of God could say, I got somebody over here reading Isaiah 53. I got somebody over here preaching Jesus. I need to get them together.
Amen.
Only God can work on Peter on the roof and Cornelius in his house. You see, the answer of the heart and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And so he goes down, and you remember how Philip, the evangelist, when he got down there, he's wondering, okay, what do I do? You got an entourage. And the Spirit said to him, join yourself to this chariot. The Spirit of God said somebody is hungry and searching and looking, and I want you to join yourself to that. You could join yourself to many chariots and be on the wrong one. I've tried to talk to people many times about the Lord. In fact, they were courteous and generous. They had nobody to talk to. They wanted somebody to listen to, and they wasted an hour and a half. Maybe the next chariot would have been somebody really... Amen? But I'm saying we need the Spirit of God. That's why we need to be clean. We keep our lives clean and right with the Lord by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Why? I want to be clean. I want to be filled. I want to be sensitive. And I want to be submissive. I want Him to lead me where He wants me to go, because He knows where I need to go. I have no idea. In my city, we have a lot of homes in the city of Philadelphia, a lot of row homes. And a friend of mine, years ago, we were out knocking on doors. And we were just sharing the gospel with people. And we got to this one house. By the way, we did a whole square block, which in our area could be 100 doors. And we were knocking on these doors and nobody was home. It was daytime, a lot of people working. Nobody's home. And I remember we were almost on our last doors. And I said, Lord, please allow somebody to be here so we can share the gospel with somebody. And all of a sudden, this guy answers the door. Now, brother, I had a man with me who got saved. He was on crack when he got saved. And at the time he was with me, he had been delivered from crack, I'd say, about 9 years. He was teaching in the school. Lord had gloriously saved this man. And I remember we knocked on this door, and this man came to the door. And I don't usually do this. I usually say, hi, my name is Brother Matt, and this is Brother so-and-so. We're just handing out some pamphlets and, just see if the door's open. And I said, hi, my name is Matt, and hi, this is Brother Mike. I said, Mike was on crack for about 9 years, and the Lord had delivered him. And never do that. This man said, how do you know? He said, I've been clean for about 6 months. Last night I went out on a binge, a drug binge. I didn't have the opportunity to lead that man to the Lord that day. But that man was so open, my father-in-law, because this man was an Italian man from South Philly, and that's where my father-in-law had the opportunity to go back and lead him to the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm saying to you, it's not magical and mystical. I mean, we try to, make sure our lives are clean, want to be filled with the Spirit. We want to share the gospel, but we want the Spirit of God to be there moving.
That's right.
And I'm just telling you how God knew that man, knew his situation, knew he needed to hear, so he would open up his eyes. Whoa. Amen. I'm not saying every time you share the gospel it's some kind of, whatever, but I am saying this. I want to make sure I'm clean. I want to make sure I'm right. I want to make sure that I don't hinder the Spirit of God. Amen? That's what I want to do. And by the way, I don't understand it. The Holy Spirit of God sometimes will say, don't go that way. Acts chapter number 16, you remember a man named Paul the Apostle? Here's a man filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Word of God, ready to preach the Word of God wherever God wants. He said, I'm going here. And the Spirit said, no. He said, I'm going here. And the Spirit said, no. Somebody said you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. I kind of wonder, I'm just saying, am I right on that?
That's good.
All of a sudden, Spirit says, no, Spirit. By the way, the leading of the Spirit is not always, yes, yes, yes. The leading of the Spirit can say, no, okay. So what do you do when you want to go this way and the door shut, and you want to go this way and the door shut? You wait for the vision. All of a sudden, Paul said, then we had a vision. A man from Macedonia said unto us, come over here and help us. So Paul put it together. God shut us down here, shut us down here. And this is where his will for us. Amen? And thank God for it, because the gospel came our way. In that direction. Amen. I'm just saying, that we might be spirit-filled and led, amen, in the reference of helping lost people to get saved, amen. I want you to note something. Would you please turn with me to Revelation chapter number 22? Revelation chapter number 22. I'm saying, listen, the Holy Spirit wants to witness to people. The Holy Spirit wants to witness to people. And I have to be honest with you. Sometimes I say no. And it could be based on my judgment. That guy's got a tattoo on his lips. I don't think the Lord wants to save him. Can I get a witness? Somebody help me on that. I don't think. You have no idea. We have no idea. Amen. Some of the biggest, baddest guys could be at their end. At the end, if you will, could be like, they've had everything. They've tried everything. They're at, they're right where maybe. Open to the Lord. Who knows? That's why we got to be very careful. Who knows? Would you look at Revelation for a moment, chapter 12? I'm saying this. The Holy Spirit is the convictor of the sinner, but he works through the saint. He works through the saint. Amen? Look at Revelation chapter number 22 and look at verse number 17. Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 17, if you would, please. Book of Revelation closes, if you will, with these wonderful, wonderful statements. And the Spirit, by the way, and the bride, by the way, together. The bride, the church, right? And the Spirit and the bride say what? Come! And let him that is heareth say, come! And let him that is athirst come! And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. We got saved for free. We found the fountain of life. We found the water of life for free. We got it. Amen? And you and I need to advertise and let people know there is a fountain that you can be saved. For free you can come. The only thing you need to be is thirsty. Got to want it. Because God ain't going to force it on you. Got to want it. Amen? Ain't that the truth? Let me say, if I can, the importance of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. The importance of the Holy Spirit when witnessing. Don't turn there for the sake of time. Luke 24, 47 to 49. He said, you're going to preach. You're going to preach. Not just in Jerusalem. You're going to preach to the apostles. You're going to take this message. But tarry ye here until you be endued with power from on high. Parallel it to Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come. Power for what? To speak in tongues? No. Power for what? To do miracles? No. Power, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria. Amen? Amen? What I'm saying is you got to preach and proclaim the truth of the Word of God, but please take the power. Take the power. Amen? May the Spirit of God help us and fill us. Now, I do have to say this. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. You can be Spirit-filled. You can be Scripture-filled. You can share the wonderful words of life with an unsaved person, and the Spirit of God can be there moving, and that person can resist the Spirit of God and say no. In Acts chapter number 7, Stephen was preaching to the Pharisees about Jesus, and they got upset, and in Acts 7:51, he said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. See, I don't believe in irresistible grace. I don't believe that you can have a time where you don't. Now, I know they say, well, you can resist the audible voice of the Spirit through the preacher, but you can't. No, you can resist the Spirit. In fact, in the time of Christ, you could reject the Spirit. When Jesus did a miracle and the Pharisees said, no, he's doing this by the devil himself. The Lord said, listen, all sins can be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Spirit of God cannot be forgiven. You can't reject the work of the Spirit and be saved at that time. And if anything, by way of application, you can't reject the work of the Spirit in your heart as an unsaved person and be saved. Amen? By the way, one of the greatest works of the Spirit that cannot be rejected is this book. This is a supernatural work of the Spirit. We talked about it earlier. You reject this book, you can't be saved against it. Amen? Ain't that the truth? The Holy Spirit of God. Listen, there's a wonderful illustration in the Bible. I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time, but I'll tell you, Genesis 24, great chapter. Long chapter, great chapter. It's a picture of the Spirit of God's work in this generation. That's what makes me so amazed. I'm way back in Genesis 24 and I'm reading and I'm seeing the Spirit of God today. Abraham's a picture of God the Father. His eldest servant, who's in control of the whole house, is not named. And he sent back to Abraham's family because he couldn't take a bride of the people of the land. He had to go back to his family. He said, go get a bride for Isaac, who's a picture of Jesus. Rebecca, the bride that the servant gets, is a picture of the church. Amen. Back then, we see a wonderful picture of the Father sending the Spirit. And by the way, the servant said, what if the person doesn't want to come? Well, you're not responsible for their decision. You go and try to get them. If they say no, that's their responsibility. In fact, when he got there to get Rebecca, it was up to Rebecca whether he'll go with this man or not. God don't force anybody, amen? One of the wonderful things that, about that picture, the spirit or the servant is never named. Why? It's not about him. He's doing an invisible work, not recognized in a mighty way. It's Jesus that is recognized. Amen. Let me give you this number point, number five, and I'm going to quit. So what we see is, listen, the Holy Spirit is the convictor of the sinner. He wants to use you and I that are saved to try to reach the lost with the gospel. We are not responsible for their decision. We're responsible for whether we tried to share or not. We found the bread. Let's try to break it and share it. Amen. Now, let me give you this next thought. Number five, would you jot this down? Not only is the Holy Spirit the convictor of the sinner, but he's the converter of the sinner. You see, convicting the sinner, he's on the outside knocking. But when a sinner hears the word, believes the word, becomes saved, the Spirit of God steps in.
Amen.
And now he went from being the one outside knocking to the one inside changing. I want you to look with me, if you would, Titus chapter number 3 for a moment. Titus chapter number 3. See, why does the Holy Spirit want to knock on unsaved people's hearts and lives? He wants to save them. He wants to get in them. And he wants to start to change them. Amen? That's what he's trying to do. He wants to renovate. He wants to renovate. Look at Titus, if you would, chapter number 3, please. He goes from the convictor of the sinner to the converting of the sinner, to the changing the position of that sinner before God, and then changing the condition of that sinner before man. Amen? I want you to look with me, please, Titus chapter number 3. I got to be careful. We got so much sweat here going on. It's starting to rain on my glasses. Titus chapter number 3. Look at verse number 5. Watch this. In reference to salvation, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Hallelujah. We don't get saved by what we do. We get saved by what Jesus did. Amen. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Get this. By the washing of regeneration. And then next statement. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is the regenerator. He comes into the life of the believing sinner and he begins to change the life from the inside. Amen? That's what he does. In fact, in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus said, look, you need to be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit. You need to be born from above. Flesh is flesh. Spirit is spirit. You got the flesh. You need the Spirit. Amen? That's what he said. And the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to born again people. Amen? No doubt about it. Oh, we become saved. We get a new nature. We get a new birth, if you will. It's not a change of, but it's a change in our nature. We get to partake of the divine nature, according to 2 Peter 1:4. Amen? What a wonderful truth, isn't it? Let me say this. Salvation gives us an opportunity to be new. The day that you got saved, you allowed the Spirit of God in. And when he came in, you now have the opportunity to be a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And by the way, it says in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5, if you've been buried with him, you're buried with him in his baptism of death and his burial, and you're also raised with him in his resurrection to walk in the newness of life. What he's saying is, if you get saved, you have the opportunity to be new. And I say this, you have the opportunity to be new. A lot of people don't take advantage of that. There are some people, they're settled with, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm saved, I got the Holy Spirit, but they don't want to be new, they don't want to be changed, they don't want to be different. God wants to change us, and by his word and by his spirit, he can and wants to, amen? And I will say this, and by the way, none of us will be perfectly new in this life, but we can be ever growing newer and newer and newer and newer.
Yes,
and I want you to get this thought, listen, we can help the process of newness. If you're saved and you have the Spirit of God, you have the Word of God, you and I can do our part to become more and more what God wants us to become. Amen? In fact, here's part of it. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. As you turn there, I want to just quote a scripture for you. Ephesians chapter number 4, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter number 4. Listen, here's how we can help the process. I'm saved, by the way, and I'm new. The old man, I'm not what I used to be. Thank God. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I know that I could be more new than I am. Hey, can I get a witness on that one? I know there's room for improvement in my life. And the Spirit of God in me wants to make me more and more like Jesus. And here's how it works. Romans 12, 1 and 2, don't turn there. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Now here it is. But be transformed. That's new, right? Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, you and I become more and more new as the Word of God changes and cleanses our minds more and more. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God in our minds and in our hearts to change us and to make us more and more what we ought to be. Amen? And when you and I get into the book and allow the book to get into us, the Spirit of God can do that work of regenerating and changing us more and more. Amen? Philippians chapter 2, don't turn there, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The context of that verse, there might have been some women have some issues with each other, not as much unity as there should have been. And Paul was trying to encourage them to have the mind of Christ so they could be united like they ought to be. Amen? Let's close with Ephesians 4, and I'm going to wrap it up with this. You and I can help the process of becoming more and more new, more and more what Christ wants us to be. Look at verse number 22, if you would, please. Ephesians 4, 22. Notice what it says. And by the way, this is the process of sanctification that you put off concerning what? The former conversation, the old man, huh? The old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Look at verse number 24. And that you what? Put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Listen, in the process of sanctification, you and I have a responsibility, don't we? We are responsible to put off the old man. We're responsible to put on the new man. By the way, the terminology is like changing garments, changing your clothes. You get dirty from work all day long and you come home. Listen, if you don't get changed and shower, nobody else is going to do it for you. Amen? I mean, if you want to smell and be offensive to everybody, but normally what you do is you take the responsibility, you do the changing, you do the showering, you put on the clean clothes, amen? And by the way, in the process of sanctification, you and I are responsible to do the working of putting off and putting on. How do we do it? Verse 23 and 24 hinge on one verse, verse number 23. Look at verse number 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do I put off the old man and put on the new man? Renew your mind. A new mind equals a new life. Amen? The Spirit of God wants to convict the sinner. And He wants to fill us and use us to do it. But He also wants to convert them and change them. Just like He wants to continue to convert and change us. And may we allow Him to do that work in our lives and through our lives. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father, as we close up the meeting this morning, I thank and praise You for the Holy Spirit. I thank You for the Spirit of God knocking on my door, my heart, and the hearts and doors of those of us that are saved. We heard the gospel. We believed the gospel. You came in. And when You came in, You started that renovation process, changing our lives for the glory of God. I thank You for using Your word to do that work. May we do our part and open the book and get into it and get it into us so we can help the process and maybe even speed the process a little bit more. I pray that You'll be with the pastor as he leads and guides in the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just hope that
you will take the teaching there. Let the Spirit of God do His work through you. Use it in a great way. Now tonight He's going to continue. One more point, I believe, right? For the Christian. Along this line. Let's sing this song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I hope you've done that. If you haven't, do it today. And then we're going to sing another song, which kind of tells us how that we just got to keep on growing in this thing. Keep on growing. So let's stand and sing number 31. I have decided. From your heart, make it a prayer. You know, if you love Him, why not serve Him?